This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hi, I'm Matt Jackson. This is my brother, Nick Jackson. We're the mother effing Young Bucks, and you are listening to the New Japan Purocast. Suck it! Super kick party to sweet me. All right, everyone, welcome to this week's edition of the New Japan Purocast, your weekly audio source for all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. My name is Colin Miller, being joined alongside by the incomparable Damon McDonald. And Damon, this is going to be a different sort of Purocast this week, because normally, we would be reviewing the two Road 2 shows that happened this past weekend. However, due to some issues with promoters, both of these shows did not air on NJPW World. And as a matter of fact, I don't even think they aired on Samurai TV. Am I right?
Nope. Well, welcome everyone to the I don't know how we're going to cover shows that we never watched, and you know it's going to be 2 years before we see these shows, Purecast. Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? I don't know. I haven't got a proper explanation of why these shows are not either on the network or Samurai TV. Samurai, you know what? Let me get my calendar. Shit, I don't have my calendar with me.
We are already off to a great start, ladies and gentlemen.
A fucking rocky start. No, I have a calendar, like a paper calendar that I have that I use to kind of not only track New Japan shows, but anything that's on all the Japanese networks. So G Plus, who does a lot of Noah, is it Asahi? Is that how you pronounce their network?
Asahi. That's what I always.
Yeah. Yoshihiro Asahi, I call it. They're like their second tier network, like number two channel. They have New Japan. And J Sports has like WWE, Samurai TV has just about fucking everything. So, yeah, no Samurai TV, or it's going to be later in the week. So it's going to be like a week delay. I don't know, whatever it is, it's bullshit. And I haven't gotten a complete answer as to why. Promoters, who, what? What does that mean? I don't even know. What does that even mean?
Your guess is as good as mine, my friend. All I know is that if you follow the great Enyuhito on Twitter, you can follow him at Enyuhito_ENG. He said, I know the reason why these two shows won't be live on NJPW World. It is because of promoters. These two shows are not run by New Japan. I have never heard of New Japan Pro Wrestling shows not being run by New Japan. That concept is foreign to me.
Literally. I have heard of it before, but I don't know the logistics behind it. So I don't know what constitutes what can air, what can't air. I mean, I know that the networks technically own a lot of the footage, and New Japan doesn't own a lot of the footage. Like, if you go to the network, you're not going to see all the TV shows, you know, that the weekly TV shows that they had for eons. Like last week I was talking about how I'm going through all my tapes and for All Japan and New Japan. And, you know, there's shit that you're not going to see on the network. They don't have access to it. They don't have permission for it. It's the networks that own it. Getting back to an original point, that one of those networks that I have, the Japanese networks, they run like blocks of classic New Japan and classic All Japan. That's on G Plus. So again, they don't have the footage. They don't have the rights to air this shit. I don't know how this promoter thing works and doesn't work. I'm going to be truthful. I have no fucking idea. All I know is that they're not doing this for us, but I would think that there's people in Japan kind of scratching their head as well, being like, what the fuck? You can't dangle a carrot in front of me and air, you know, a spot show in Fukuoka in front of 800 people and not air what's technically a pretty meaningful show, right? I mean,
I was just about to say that. It's not like these were your typical Road 2 shows with a lot of throwaway matches. We had three title matches on both of these shows. We had a never title match, we had a never six-man title match, and we had an ROH World Television title match, and all three of those matches were probably going to be pretty good. So these shows were actually something that I think a lot of people were looking forward to watching this past weekend, but unfortunately now we are going to be watching a fifth-generation VHS copy
in about, like,
8 months.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's a handful of days. I know we're being a little overdramatic with this, but it's really kind of shit. And here's the thing, too. It's not like New Japan didn't know that this was going to be the case from the jump. So why would you put a match like, you know, like just all the title matches that you just described? Why would you even go through that? Just make us a rump-a-dump show. The logistics of this really doesn't make much fucking sense from... Why? If someone knows the answer, by all means, please let me know. Because to me, this is just like, it just seems like total fucking incompetence on their end.
Yes, and we all know, both you and I have experienced incompetence on grand levels, but we won't go off on that. I'm sure all of our listeners know who we are referencing, which company we're talking about, which airline we're talking about. Yes. But I digress. We are going to talk about these shows, though. Even though we didn't watch them, I do want to go over the results. But before we get into that, I have a question for you, and this is in regards to NJPW World. How does it stream for you personally on your end?
Okay, so I know I saw Meltzer crying about it.
Yes,
and I've heard online complaints, and it's hit or miss. Like, I don't think I've watched a live stream in a while because I've gotten completely frustrated with it. Like, it's gotten to the point where the buffering has gotten ridiculous. Now, one of the biggest issues I had was apparently they were doing some kind of server maintenance, some kind of something right around the Dome show, because everybody was in panic mode because, you know, their stream quality was shit. And you know how they stream the setup of the Dome, like the actual construction of the ramp and the stage and the ring,
right.
and that was buffering. And I'm thinking, you know, listen, there can't be more than 100 maniacs like myself watching them set up the ring.
A still image is buffering,
right? So single cam, right? And I'm like, this is buffering. What's going to happen when the show starts? So you know, I'm in panic mode, and I did have some issues. From the Ishii Shibata match on, I watched it in my office on my laptop because it was buffering like a motherfucker. So they've had problems. Now, then, you know, people are saying, well, you got to clear your cache, and then you got to reboot, and then you got a low quality. Jesus Christ. I mean, you know, there's, I don't know. People don't want that.
Your kid cache.
Nobody wants that. You know, again, you can't get people to just understand the concept of a streaming network, let alone clear your cache and don't use Safari and you can only use certain browsers. And oh, come on. Fucking Christ. And you have to allocate extra memory. What?
I have a way to simplify this, by the way.
I know. Get an app. And I can't imagine that. Here's what they need to do. They need to fucking hire us to do like their internet marketing and their U.S. promotion, and we can tell them flat out, here's what the U.S. audience really wants, and here's how your product is going to help catch on. And yes, listen, when you go on your little rants about your app, and I'm thinking, you know, this motherfucker has no idea because, you know, I've waited 1,000 years for, you know, again, a fifth generation VHS copy. But I do agree with you to a large extent. It's 2016. It's a totally different audience. There are certain expectations that if you have a network, it needs to work at this certain level. And the network right now is not working on that level. Let me ask you this. Aside from the shows that they're doing right now, have they added any additional new content? Like old footage?
I'm not so sure about old footage. I know that there are plenty of videos on there of Tanahashi lifting weights in the gym.
Right. Right, shirtless and oiled up. Right.
Yes. But other than that, that's the thing. Like, a lot of times I'll want to watch NJPW World and I'll be in the mood for some classic content. But quite honestly, I don't know where to go on the website to even find it. And a big part of their problem is that if they are really and truly serious about branching out and targeting the North American audience, Damon, they really need an English website.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but nothing's in English. Everything is translatable right through extensions on your browser.
Right.
So, an English version of a website. Yeah, I can't say that that's not a bad idea. I would be thrilled if they just, you know, had an ability. Well, I will say this about New Japan World. It is 1,000 times easier to find content once you translate to English to find content on a certain wrestler. Like if I go to the WWE Network and I try and find, Jeff Jarrett matches. Right. Why would I ever do
you
that?
You watch a lot of Jeff Jarrett matches?
I don't. Just to make sure my fast forward button works.
Let me just say this. That match he had with Shawn Michaels for the IC title in your house was a great match.
Okay. I'm going to take your word for it. I probably saw it, but it's not.
But then again, a broomstick could have been in his place, and it would have been a great match.
I'm sure. But like if I want to find Jeff Jarrett matches,
right,
it's relatively easy to find on the New Japan Network, right?
Yes.
Everything's there. You know, once you find the wrestler that you're interested in or the event. They even have like a search. I mean, you can sort by, the announcers. Like, why would anybody do that? But or venue or whatever the case may be. If you try and do that on WWE Network, it's you got a laundry list of wrestlers that never even wrestled in WWE ring, and then you wind up getting like a 5-minute promo of Jeff Jarrett. You know what I mean? Like, why would I want to watch a 5-minute fucking promo of Jeff Jarrett? I want to see a match. I want to see that match, this specific match. And here's another thing: I don't remember events. Like, I couldn't tell you what happened at like 2001's In Your House or whatever. So I think New Japan does a good job there in being able to find certain matches.
You know what else I really enjoy about New Japan World is that the pay-per-views, the shows, you can watch each individual match. Like, for example, if you want to go and you want to watch Shibata versus Ishii from Wrestle Kingdom 10, you can go and you don't have to fast forward through the entire event to get to that one match. And that's one of the things I hate about the WWE Network, because a lot of times I'll just want to watch one match and it's not like you can find that particular match. You have to fast forward through, like, In Your House, right, 1996, Beware of Dog to get to, like, the Caribbean strap match between Steve Austin and Savio Vega.
I knew it. Savio Vega. I did know that match. I was actually going to say Savio Vega. I'm pretty good. Okay, good. I agree with you 100%. Like I said, it's a lot easier to find content. But again, there's since 1972, there's been shit, and there's a lot that's not there. So to answer your question, one, the buffering, yeah, it's still bad. But I will say this, I don't watch the events live. I haven't watched an event live in a long time, so I can't speak to the live stream. But when I watch it, when I wake up in the morning or after work or whatever the case may be, I will say that the Chromecast app and the Chromecast player that I have hooked up to my TV in my office, it's mint. It's much better than the quality I get from the airport and my Apple TV. A lot better. So I do like the Chromecast a lot. Good for them. But and I don't have dropouts. I don't have buffering. But again, I'm not watching this shit live, and I've been hearing nothing but complaints for the past months, really, about the quality of that stream. So they gotta fix it. Here's the problem. Nobody in Japan's getting the fucking network. I mean, I can't imagine that they're making a ton of money with it, and in fact, they're probably losing money with it. They got nowhere near the amount of subscribers that they're hoping for, and again, they're going to do cartwheels and throw confetti if they get 1 million subscribers. They're not even close to 1 million subscribers. They're not even in the ballpark.
The last I checked, it was still at about 30,000.
Yeah, I mean, at max, they probably got 35 or 40. Max, and that's worldwide, and a large percentage of that is outside of Japan. It's outside of Japan. I mean, again, I'm spending somebody else's money here, right? But they got to upgrade their fucking servers. They got to do a better job on the website. They got to add more content. Again, there's only so much shelf life you're going to get out of a fucking, you know, Don Fry, Antonio Inoki match, you know? There's only so much shelf life you're going to get out of, you know, these dome shows. And it's only these big shows that are on there. The real juicy stuff, if you're new to New Japan, if New Japan is something that you're following and you just kind of got in, you know, maybe 2013, 2014, the good shit was their weekly TV show. That was some great fucking stuff. And again, I'm going through a lot of this shit and it's just like, oh, and rediscovering a lot of the stuff. And it's just like, oh, this is great. So yeah, there's a lot of stuff that's not on New Japan's network that, you know, they're missing the boat on. And now, can they fix that? Can they get that footage? Are they going to buy that footage? I don't know. I don't know if they financially, if it's worth it, because again, they're only got 30,000 people logging into this goddamn network. But I don't know. That might lend to why these shows weren't live. But you can't. This is going to be a terrible analogy, but you can't give somebody cake and constantly give them cake, and then, you know, when you're expecting some cake, there's no cake. This is the worst analogy ever.
it sounds like you're talking from personal experience here.
I slap my wife around saying, "Where's my cake?" Of course, I would never do that. She probably beats me for crying out loud. Where's the cake? It's really one of these things that has me scratching my head. Is it financially worth the time and the struggle to upgrade? I don't know. Especially not with 30,000 subscribers. It seems unlikely that we're going to get apps dedicated to certain platforms or streaming quality that improves anytime soon.
Okay, here's the thing. Let me tell you just very briefly about my experience using NJPW World. I don't remember the last time I watched one of the shows live either. I think it was probably during last year's G1 Climax. So I'm usually watching these shows on a delay. And for the most part, the streaming is fine. However, there will be the rare new show that is uploaded that will all of a sudden start buffering for me. And I have 5G internet. I have blazing fast internet. I could probably stream 4K content if I wanted to. I don't have a 4K television, but I could probably do that if I wanted to. And a lot of times when I'm watching these New Japan shows, I will have to switch to the low quality stream to get it to stop buffering.
I'm always low quality. I don't think I've ever clicked on high quality and not have a buffer.
Wow. And that's saying a lot. And here's another thing. Okay. So obviously streaming in general is not nearly as big in Japan as it is here in the States. So they would probably want to try and build most of their business for this network from outside subscriptions, outside of Japan, right?
I'm going to say yes and no. I mean, I think the first and foremost, their audience is the Japanese audience. But, I mean, it's not like – guys, it's fucking Japan. I mean, they have the technology, right? Number one. Number two – It's more to do with culture than anything else. They don't have the time to sit there and watch pro wrestling.
They're working 14 hours a day.
That's no joke. I mean, these people put in some crazy hours. Like they have like one day off Sunday, you know? So to sit there and not only make a financial investment in, oh, I'm going to sit here and watch pro wrestling. You know, they want to spend time with their family. They want to see the sun, for Christ's sake.
I think it's exhausting to work 4 hours, let alone 14. Four. By like the fourth hour, I'm like, oh God,
yeah,
I have to go home.
Right. So we're sitting here crying about a fucking network. They're sitting here crying about, I want to see my wife. I haven't seen her in 6 weeks. But yeah, I mean, it's just a different mindset. When I watch Samurai TV, they have, an entire cable package that they promote, like it seems like almost on the hour. And the commercial is they talk about all those channels that I talked about earlier, and you can get that all in one cable package. So you get all these sports networks that have wrestling. I guess it's like a wrestling tier, and it looked like it was like 3,000 yen, maybe 4,000 yen, which is like about $30 roughly. So the technology's there. And they also promote, like Samurai TV has a streaming service. So everything's on demand. You can watch it online. And originally what got me kind of into all this, you know, technology of watching the stuff as I can, they announced Samurai TV was going to be streaming. It had have this streaming service. So I was like, holy shit, this is great. Take my money. You know, I'm all in. And lo and behold, it was only available in Japan, which was absolutely ridiculous sounding to me. But okay, it was only available in Japan, which got me kind of pissed off. And, you know, I know you don't torrent Colin Miller, but this is like one of those things where people make the argument of, this is why I torrent. It's not that I'm trying to give you my money. I really want you to have my money just so I can have your service. Please take my money, but you won't let me give you my money, right? So, okay, well, I want to see it anyway. And you're telling me you don't want my money. Okay, I'm going to see it anyway. Okay, so that's my rant on technology. But I don't even know what my original point was, to be quite frank. This is what I do. Yeah, streaming quality stinks. Go on. I'm sorry. My bad.
Let me just add this. I was posting last week on the Classic Japanese Pro Wrestling Facebook group, and somebody was asking a question about NJPW World. And of course, I went off on my thing about they need an app. You know, if you've been listening to this show from day one, I've been saying it from day one. But here is the God's honest truth. And I have had this same conversation that I'm about to lay out for you with dozens and dozens of people. You know, I try and introduce as many people as I can who only watch the WWE product. I love introducing them to good pro wrestling, whether that is Ring of Honor or New Japan or whatever. And a lot of people ask me, well, Colin, how can I watch New Japan? Because believe it or not, there's still a lot of people out there who don't know that there is a TV show here in the States on Access TV. They don't know about New Japan World. So I tell them about New Japan World, and they get really excited. And they're like, wow, so it's just like the WWE Network? You can get it for $9.99? I'm like, yep, it's all there. You can watch every show live. It is an amazing streaming service.
Well, just about every live.
Well, yeah. Today is the rare exception. And then they inevitably ask me, oh, cool, so I can just watch this on my Xbox or my PS3 and my Roku, my Apple TV. And I say, well, no, you can only watch it on NJPWWorld.com. And they are completely deflated after that. Every single person, they're just like, wow, that's a bummer. And then the conversation ends there, and they don't go and subscribe. So New Japan is losing money here with this. They are, not having an app.
And here's the thing, Colin. You're in your 20s, right? And I'm sure the people that you're talking to are, correct me if I'm wrong, but probably in their 20s,
damn,
maybe early 30s, right? Okay. So, yeah, damn millennials. But so a lot of people that get excited for the prospect and the idea of a network are, you know, unfortunately, old people like me, right? So it's the people that, you know, have had the experience of waiting months for shows and you know, getting the shitty quality VHS tapes and paying a fortune for a really good quality one. And then, you know, being a master of the fucking tracking button on your VCR to make sure you get your picture halfway decent. We're the ones that, like, are, you know, I don't want to say are going to jump through hoops to make this happen, but the idea of seeing a New Japan show live as it happens in your house, in your pajamas, is fucking tremendous, right? It blows our fucking mind. But for people like you, Colin, and your friends, this is everyday life, right? This is no big fucking deal because you've grown up with, I can't say all throughout your life, but in a lot of your adult life, streaming services are pretty common, right? They're pretty normal. So to sit there and say, well, yeah, you got to hook up your HDMI cable from your laptop to your what?
Over for them. They tune out then. Once there is more than one step involved, that is it. And look, for me, I'll be honest with you. I am old enough to know about the tracking button on the VCR. I have done that. So
you watch a lot of porn.
Yeah. Yep. Yep. Lots of old.
My all mediums. VCR, magazine. You're old school when it comes to the porn. smart. I appreciate that, Colin. You're a good egg.
Sure, certainly. And for me, honestly, it really isn't that big of a deal to just hook up my HDMI cable from my MacBook here, connect it to my TV. You know, it works fine. However, would I like to just be able to turn on my Roku and have an NJPW World app there and just click on it? Hell yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and I think a lot of people are like that. When you start getting into a perfect example is like, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm watching videos. I'm a huge Oasis fan. Oasis is one of my favorite bands, and Noel Gallagher is getting interviewed, and he's talking about how music has changed and how his daughter, who's 15, you know, has no idea or concept of what the fuck an album is, or artwork,
which is kind of sad.
It is, but it's the truth. And here's the thing. He said, if she can't play on her fucking phone instantly, it doesn't exist. It doesn't fucking exist. And again, I don't know the target demographic that New Japan is trying to hit. Are they trying to hit a younger audience? Like I don't want to say like a millennial NXT kind of fan, you know, or maybe a millennial Ring of Honor type of fan with this. Or are they trying to get like some old, you know, fans that are just happy to get it, you know, and I think that's a wrong strategy. There's only so much of us, you know, when I say us, me's, that, you know, still get a fucking hard on with the fact that you can watch this shit live. You know, anybody else who has a blog or a podcast, or, you know, they're much younger. They're your age, Colin. And again, this is, you know, the idea of a streaming network or a streaming service, you know, it's pretty much push a button, watch what I want to watch. And that's the life that they leave. And that's their reality. But again, it comes back to this again, and I'm spending other people's money, Colin, here, but you know, is it worth the upgrade? Is it worth the financial investment to really make this network something special? I don't think this network is in a lot of people's eyes. And what are we, about a year, almost 2 years in, right about, right?
Yeah, December 2014.
Okay.
Was when it started.
Yeah, this is not – we've been around enough to iron out some kinks, if there are kinks. I got to be honest with you.
You really got me. You're really good.
Singing. We're doing a lot of singing lately. You know that? I'm sure people are thrilled with that. I don't think this network has been anything special. But yes, it's nice to get live stuff. Yes, it's nice to have these shows that, again, you would see months later for me. But I think to 20-year-olds and early 30-year-olds, this is not that special. This is not that cutting edge. This is not that revolutionary. And again, the back catalog, guys, the good stuff. I ain't even on a network.
Yeah, like one thing that I was curious about, I wanted to go back and I have this on DVD anyway, but I wanted to see if the original Super J Cup from 1994 was on there. Is it? I can't find it.
I don't think it is.
Wow.
I think only the 1995 is.
Wow, and that wasn't even their Super J Cup.
Yeah, I could be dead wrong.
That was war.
I don't hold me to that. I'm not 100% sure. I mean, there's a lot of, again, the TV is the key. There's a lot of stuff that's not on the network, and the TV shows were just tremendous. Again, you got, since 1972, you've got a back catalog that you can go through and watch. But again, you're never going to see it on the network. And again, that might be out of New Japan's hands. All right, have we beat the fuck out of the network?
I think we have. Just one final point though about NJPW World and streaming services in general.
Brazzers.
Yes, like Brazzers
or
X-Hamster. So there's this little streaming service available. You might have heard of it. It's called Netflix. And Netflix has thousands and thousands of subscribers, just like The Rock has millions and millions of fans.
Nope.
he's this dude that went to Freedom High School in Bethlehem, PA, you know, Dwayne Johnson, okay. I think. I don't know. Me neither. Anyway, Netflix has thousands and thousands of subscribers. Could you imagine if Netflix was just Netflix.com, and if you wanted to watch it on your television, you had to connect it via an HDMI cable from your computer, or you had to screencast it. There was no Roku app, no Apple TV app, no nothing. How many subscribers do you think they would have then? Exactly.
I agree. Colin, I agree 100%. The only difference there is this. They got people writing checks from studios to make this happen, you know? So, you know, they have a financial, you know, pot of gold, so to speak, that they can dip their hands into to kind of make this work. It's not like it's just some schmo in a basement. And again,
that's what I assumed it was.
We're talking about New Japan Pro Wrestling, who literally run out of an office probably the size of my basement. We're talking about a Japanese pro wrestling organization. Are they making money? Yeah. Can I think that they, you know, if they wanted to, could they make the investment in it? Sure. But again, it's not my money to spend. I guess that's the bottom line. Is this a viable, sustainable, and scalable operation, this network, for New Japan? And, you know, how can it be better? How can they make it better without breaking the bank?
Well, Damon, since we are the voice of the fans, I'd like to think that our say carries some weight to the New Japan brass, huh?
Listen, I would love for, like, and again, we have a lot of people that work in New Japan and work with New Japan that listen to the show. And I'm not just saying that just to kind of pat myself on the shoulder or Colin. It's truth. And I would hope that somebody there listening would be like, listen, I think these guys are on to something. I think these guys might have the pulse, if you will, of this North American audience that and really what they want. And if you want to be successful in this market, maybe you should be talking to these guys. I'm literally sitting here on our podcast positioning ourselves for a job.
Hey, nothing wrong with that.
I'm pimping us out.
I'm in the market, Damon, in case you haven't heard.
Yeah, listen, I'll stop what I'm doing right now. I'll get to work. But I think that there are ideas and things that can be done to make this product much better. And again, I would hope that somebody listening to this, maybe clue them in on what the feeling is of the fans. And here's the thing: I would love to hear what you guys think. Is the network a success? Are you having trouble buffering issues? Is the content on there enough to satisfy you? Is there anything new? What isn't on that network that you want to see? Let us know, because if we can, we'll pass the word off to those people, and hopefully, you know, some things will get changed, or at least it'll open their eyes to, hey, this is, if you're really serious about North America, this is what these people want, and quite frankly, what they need to make a successful network.
Yes, absolutely. Tweet us at Purocast, or make a post on facebook.com/NewJapanPurocast. And on that note, I think we're going to stop beating the dead horse there and get into the results for the shows that we didn't get to see that happened this past weekend.
That no one saw except anybody who was in the arena. It sucks, man. Just you saying that, it's kind of like, oh, fuck. That's not good. It's not good.
So the first Road to Invasion Attack show took place on Saturday, March 19th at the Aki Prefectural Gymnasium. So let's go through the card here. Let's go through the results. First match, Kushida, Jushin Thunder Liger, and David Finlay versus Rocky Romero, Trent Beretta, and Ghetto. We saw Trent Beretta pick up the win for his team there, following the strong zero on David Finlay.
This is a good match, Colin. I like. Oh, wait a minute, we didn't see it. We didn't see it. If finishes tell a tale, right? And who picks up wins and who doesn't pick up wins? Again, this is something to help position Roppongi Vice for their tag title shot come Invasion Attack. So it doesn't shock me a finish there. Okay, what else we got?
And just to kind of piggyback off of that really quickly, after the match was over, Rocky Romero kind of instigated something with Kushida, and he hinted that he would like to challenge the champion after the April 10th Invasion Attack show, whoever that may be, whether Kushida retains or the great Will Ospreay becomes the new IWGP Junior Heavyweight Champion. So that should be interesting. Second match, Damon, I know that you were going to be sad that we missed this one. I think you're going to start to tear up. This next match, Hiroyoshi Tenzan, Yuji Nagata, and Manabu Nakanishi versus Toru Yano, Sakuraba, and Yoshihashi.
Wow. Like I said, I love it when they do these six-man tags and they throw all the dog shit in one pile. You know, it's like they get it all out of the fucking way.
Want to know what happened?
I'm dying to know. But can I guess? Because here's the thing. I don't know. I don't know the results. So let me guess. Let me see if I come close.
Yeah, let's play a little game here. Go ahead.
Yeah, let's have fun with it. All right, so it's Tenzan, Kojima, and who?
you already got it wrong. It is
It
is Tenzan Nagata,
okay,
and Nakanishi taking on Yano, Sakuraba, and Yoshihashi, who's been having a great year.
All right, here's what I hope happened. I'm hoping big Yoshihashi picked up the win. He deserves it, but I don't think he did. If I'm not mistaken, we're leaning toward veterans versus Shibata here in the spring. So I'm going to say Tenzan picked up the win.
You are incorrect.
Oh, motherfucker. All right, what do we got?
That would have made sense, but Yano picked up the win for his team.
What?
Via pinfall on Nakanishi.
Wow. Yano.
Well, hey, right. maybe we're building to a Yano-Nakanishi feud.
Oh, for God's sakes. Oh, Lordy Lou. Well, listen, at least the matches will be short, right? Get him in, get Yano in, do a little hair pull ball shot, and, you know, the big bull goes down for the three count. Nakanishi's been lying down a lot lately, hasn't he? He's been taking a lot of fucking falls lately.
He has. He certainly has.
Wow, that's a crazy. Yano gets the pin. All right. Well, again, I would have gone Tenzan, but who am I? All right. What's next on this hot and heavy card?
This stellar Road to Invasion attack a card.
The maybe it's great that we didn't see the show.
I was just thinking the same thing. Toki Makabe, Tomoaki Honma, Taguchi, and Jay White took on Bad Luck Fale, Tama Tonga, Yujiro Takahashi, and Cody Hall. We saw Tama Tonga pick up the win for his team.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to say that.
On who?
Jay White.
Yep, there you go.
There you go. So, yeah, you figure we need to give the Bullet Club, especially Tama Tonga, a nice little push here for Invasion Attack with his brother coming. I wonder if his brother officially strolls in. Is his first match Invasion Attack?
I believe so. That is his first match, an IWGP tag title shot. Not too shabby, huh?
Yeah, really. Just walk in the fucking door and you get a title shot there. Okay, nice. Wow. Okay. Jay White. Makes sense. All right. Great. Next.
All right. The next match was for the NWA World Junior Heavyweight Championship match, a title which we both forgot existed. The champion, Tiger Mask, defended against the challenger, Steve Anthony. And we saw Steve Anthony pick up the win and become.
I thought I was picking the winners here.
You knew the outcome to that
I
match,
did know this one.
We
I
were talking about it before we went on the air.
Come on, we could have kayfabed these kids. Steve Anthony picking up the belt, bringing it back home. I'm sure. I don't know what does this do for Liger and Tiger Mask. Wasn't there some scuttlebutt in some of these shows earlier this month about the Liger challenging and trying to pick up?
Here's the real question.
Go ahead.
Does it matter what it does to Liger and Tiger Mask?
Well, look, it's one of those belts that in one of those situations it does give Liger and Tiger something to do. But I have no problem with a second match, a third match, Liger versus Tiger for the NWA Junior belt. Fine. I don't have a problem with that.
The match in December was great.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't think anybody is watching the pay-per-view for the NWA Junior title match, but second match, third match, nothing wrong with that. Good stuff, right? So Steve Anthony picks up. I'm curious to watch this match. I've never really been a huge fan of the Steve Anthony. He's just not my guy. So I'll watch. I'll take a look and see if I see anything that's interesting or a good takeaway. I'd be curious to see how that match went, but it looks like Steve's taking his belt and going home, and good for Bruce Starp. He can get his belt back and get it off those grubby Tiger Mask's hands.
Bruce Starp, who, by the way, I don't believe was in attendance.
He was not there. No, I don't believe. Well, I could be mistaken, but if I'm not mistaken, he was not in attendance. He might have had some attorney stuff to take care of in Texas. So I couldn't make the trip. But maybe we'll see him at Invasion Attack if Steve Anthony is there. Who knows? Well, who knows? But it's the NWA Junior title.
Hey, the stakes were high, Damon. Come on.
Well, yeah. Look, I'm happy for the NWA in the sense that, you know what, they get a little exposure. I can't speak for the NWA, mind you, or their board of governors. I think they kind of feel like I would think that they would feel like they're kind of like second fiddle to this ROH stuff, and they're, you know, that was kind of like where they kind of thought they would be, you know, in what Ring of Honor is doing. So if everybody's making money, if everybody's doing good, that's all I care about. You know, everybody doing well, fine, good. Everybody's making a living. Everybody's able to put some food on their tables. That's good stuff. So, good for them. Is it something that I really care about? No, I don't.
The next match is something that I am actually really looking forward to checking out. We saw Juice Robinson and Kenny Omega go over 13 minutes here. How about that?
I did hear that.
Now, Damon, I'm assuming
Juice
that,
won. That's my prediction. That's not what happened.
I'm assuming that 12 of those minutes was just the setup to the shuck and jive punches. Like, could you imagine for 12 minutes?
I would love it if it was literally 12 minutes of Juice just hitting punches and the clock turning and turning and Kenny Omega selling every punch. Oh, but I'd love to
see that. That would be amazing.
That would not be awful. They're giving Juice every opportunity now, right? It's not like he's not getting chances. He picks up a big win in this match last week, submission on Captain New Japan. And, you know, you're not going 5 minutes. You're not going 6 minutes with Kenny Omega. Kenny Omega can have a good match with just about anyone, I truly believe. I'm curious to see. I'm definitely interested in this. Like when people sit here and they talk about, well, Juice Robinson's improving. Okay. All right, I don't know what you're saying. I don't know how you're looking at it. I don't know if you just want to be first on the Juice Robinson boat. Okay, cool. Whatever you want to do. This is a match that will tell the tale, right, to me. You're going in the ring with Kenny Omega, singles match, more than 10 minutes. I'm very curious to see how Juice turns out here. I have people, you know, on that Lionsgate show, Colin, talk to me about, hey, this was actually Juice Robinson's best match. I did not watch it, so poo on me, but I will definitely be watching this and with great interest to see how Juice Robinson has improved. Everyone's telling me how well he's improved. Everyone's telling me how well, you know, he's coming into his own. Okay, let's see. This is going to be the proof in the pudding, if you will.
Those corner cannonballs are getting smoother and smoother as each match goes by.
I guess. I mean, you know, like, again, I really feel like people just want to hop on a, you know, they want to be like, you know, see the diamond in the rough before anyone else. And it's like, okay, here's your opportunity. You know, this is Juice's opportunity to show everyone what he has learned, how he has improved from his time from NXT to his pseudo young lion stage.
No, in all seriousness, though, I do think that he has been improving, and it's going to be interesting to watch this match if indeed they do put it up on NJPW World.
Well, they're putting it up. Listen, I know, you know, we sat here for half an hour busting their balls, but they are going to put it up. I think the date that they said was for some reason, I want to say the 24th or the 27th, but still, that's to me, that's crazy. I don't know. What, like, why? Like, either you're going to air it or don't air it. Like, why are we waiting for the 24th or the 27th? Like, what magical date is that? Like, why are we waiting? I don't get it. I don't understand it.
But we saw Omega pick up the win here, of course, with a running knee, which is kind of like his version of the Bomb IA, which I guess is his second finisher now behind the One-Winged Angel. So there you go.
Yeah, kind of a little knock, if you will. You know what? I just had an epiphany, Colin.
An
epiphany. So maybe, because I know what they do in Japan a lot is a lot of shows don't air live, and they are kind of tape delayed on, again, Samurai TV, right? So Noah will do that, or All Japan will do that. And the reason why they do that is because they want people to actually buy a ticket to go to the event and then, you know, not have the live, you know, let's put it this way, if I could sit at home and watch it on TV, maybe I'd do that and not fight, you know, subway traffic or train traffic to get to fucking Cork and Hall. So maybe this is the case. Maybe this promoter wanted people to, he needed to put asses in seats. It might have been a sold show. He might have put money up front for the show, a couple grand, 20 grand, 30 grand, whatever it is. And he needs to recoup that money and hopefully make a profit. So he's worried that people will just pop on the network and watch it. So maybe they want people to get to the arena. Again, pure speculation on my point, but maybe that's the case. And again, I do know that a lot of Japanese promotions do that in the sense of, not everything's live. It's somewhat taped late. So maybe that's it.
Interesting theory, Damon. Interesting theory.
Thank you.
And on that
I also have a theory about Kennedy. And
well, trust me, I have plenty of those theories, but
and the election and the upcoming election.
That is a separate podcast for a separate time.
All right, I can't wait for Miller Unfiltered.
it's gonna be like real time with Bill Maher, although not nearly as successful.
All right. Well, I look forward to this.
Next match here, Hiroshi Tanahashi and Michael Elgin took on the Young Bucks. And who do you think won this match, Damon?
I'm going to go with Tanahashi and Elgin.
Okay.
Right?
Who picked up the fall and who took the fall?
I'm going to say Tanahashi picked up the fall on Matt Jackson.
Just the opposite. Well, no, not just the opposite. Tanahashi and Elgin did win, but Elgin picked up the fall on Nick Jackson with the Elgin Bomb. So there you go.
Like a big Mike. Actually, this week aired the Las Vegas match, the Tanahashi Elgin versus Young Bucks. That was on Ring of Honor TV this week. I watched that right before we recorded this very podcast.
Excellent. Then I guess you can check that out on ROHWrestling.com, correct?
I think so. I think they even made it available on their Facebook page, on their wall, possibly.
Very cool.
I thought I saw it there. But yeah, if you look around, I'm sure you can find it. But that aired today in the Philadelphia market. I think it might be the replay is what I actually caught. I think they actually air on Wednesday. That match, it was good. I thought it was, again, here's another perfect example of how things don't necessarily translate very well over the air. I thought the match was much better live. Watching it on the tube, it was good. Not as great as it was live. Again, another bump up for being there live. Maybe I was just drunk. I don't know. It was a good match, though.
Well, that is a possibility. I mean, I have seen you throw them back.
I had a couple old fashions at that. What I was thinking about the other day, Colin, is so we were at the bar. And,
oh God.
Wait, so hear me out. Wait, first of all, I think speaking of political stuff, I might owe you $100. We'll get into that later.
Yeah.
Pretty soon. That's a scary thought. Number two is, the last old fashioned I got, and I probably had, maybe five or six while we were at the bar, right? The last one, I don't think I had any alcohol in it. I was thinking that to myself. I don't know why that came into my head, but yeah. I don't think the lady put any alcohol in it. She's like, I saw her muddle the fruit. I saw her put in the sugar. And then I saw her put in like a little splash to kind of get the juices going. Then you put the alcohol in. And then again, how could she not? Because, the whole drink is alcohol. Okay. I'm just gonna work this out in my own head. Colin, you go ahead with the show.
Maybe she took a look at your eyes and saw that they were a bit glazed over, and maybe she recognized that your behavior was a bit boorish. So she thought, I don't know.
Oh, I don't think I was boorish at all. I think we were having a very intellectual conversation.
Actually, we were. We did have some very good philosophical conversations, which I quite enjoyed. So.
Right. See, there you go. You like a good debate. Good for you, Colin. All right. Let's move
on.
Love
a good debate. All right, here we go. Next match. Okada, Goto, and Tomohiro Ishii took on Naito, Evil, and Bushi, which are collectively known as, Damon, say it.
Los Ingobernables de Japón.
Very good. Very good.
Huh? Not bad, right? Hey, and you know what? I got to give a special shout out to, do you remember who it was? But somebody gave me a tip for, I have to honma my skills, right? Honma my skills. I loved it. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to fucking use that little
mnemonic device.
Right? That's exactly right. And that's what I'm going to do. So I'm going to honma my device. What? I don't know what that means. Goto, Okada, and who?
So Goto, Okada, and Ishii. You know him, right?
I do. That's Chaos, if I'm not mistaken,
that
right?
That is Chaos.
Interesting. Okay. Against whom?
Against Los Ingobernables de Japón. So
I'm going to say... I'm going to say Goto pinned Ishii. Goto turned on Chaos instantly, just like that. Fuck all of this. What I meant to say was I'm going to say Goto pinned our good friend Bushi.
Yes, you are correct.
Yeah, there you go.
Now, how do you think he pinned him?
Doesn't he have a new finisher, right?
He does have a new finisher. Not only does he have a new finisher, but Mr. Goto, Chief J Goto, has new ring attire, new fancy red ring attire, and his finisher is called the GTR, which is basically like a lariato into a backbreaker. It looked pretty brutal from the screenshot that I saw of it, so...
Yeah, I saw some pictures online, and GTR he's calling it, huh?
Yes, the GTR. I guess that's the opposite of the GTS.
Right, go to rest? Okay, right. So it's not a full sleep. You're just going to, just for three count, you're just going to snooze a little bit.
Right.
It's easy to remember, I guess, right? Look, we all know why this was done and the reasons behind it. Bushi obviously taking a fall. He's a junior. Of course he's taking a fall. I hate that mindset that New Japan has that, you know, juniors have to take the fall. But we all saw that coming. And, there we go. Good little setup program for everybody there with Goto and looking out for Evil and Ishii and Naito and Okada. I'm sure that was a good match. I can't wait to see it, for Christ's sake, 7 days later.
By the way, speaking of Bushi, one point I want to make about him. I like Bushi, but ever since he returned, is it just me or has he been working kind of lazy?
Yeah, I mean, he's not the super high flyer that we've seen, but I don't know if he's had a ton of opportunity to really showcase that. And he's usually been in six-mans.
Even his match against Kushida, I didn't think it was that great.
No, again, we talked about that. I didn't think it was that spectacular either. I thought there was a lot left on the table. Again, working that Los Ingobernables gimmick. I'll tell you what, though. I'll tell you what I did see online was a lot of quotes, a lot of interviews with Naito. I really liked what I was reading. Here's what I really liked. He not only, you know, has this, you know, obviously building a feud with Okada, but he's kind of has a lot of hatred toward Goto, and he was kind of making fun of Goto in the sense of, you know, this is how you find yourself. You join Chaos. Like, what, you know, why? It's pretty lame. And he's, you know, he's busting on Bushi Road and how you know key members of Bushi Road staff or won't be showing up at Invasion Attack. And
I'd like to think that Bushi Road will get better when Vince McMahon dies, but the fact is
no, you got it wrong, Colin. That's not it at all. Wrong guy. I liked what I read, and here's what I liked the best about it is that he's making points. And this is in my theory of what all great heels do. You may not like them. You may not like their methods. But there are strokes of logic and things that people can relate with where you can kind of see their motivation. I love that. There's nothing better than that. He seems real. He's like real emotions and things that are subtle enough, but, you know, not over the top, that he seems like a normal human being, a normal competitive athlete with gripes. Loved it. Go online and read some of that stuff. It really puts Naito in a I don't want to say a new light, but it shined a light on Naito that wasn't really there for me before. I'm not saying I'm 100% in on Naito, but what I'm saying is that interview, and it's online, it's all transcribed and translated into English. A lot of good stuff there. I really liked it. Go out of your way to read those quotes. Really good stuff from Naito.
Yeah, he's blaming Hiroshi Tanahashi for the company situation. Basically, he's saying that the company just does whatever he wants, and he said that they are going to be screwed if that continues.
Hey, listen, I like that. I like it. Listen, he may be wrong, he may be right, but at least he's speaking an opinion. And I think he's right. You think he's right?
Not just saying that.
I'm telling him you said that. But no, I mean that stuff, and again the Goto stuff. A lot of good stuff online there from Naito. It gives another layer and another level to his character development with this Los Ingobernables. Not bad.
The main event for this night, a match I was really looking forward to, actually, to be honest with you, was this NEVER Openweight title match with Shibata defending against Kojima. So, do you want to give your prediction for this, Damon?
Well, I'm going to go with a Shibata win.
All right.
I think it's a safe guess, right?
Right.
Okay. Don't sit here and tell me that Kojima is the NEVER Openweight champion.
Kojima lost. Shibata picked up the win here with the penalty kick, and this is actually the second successful title defense in Shibata's reign. And something happened after this match, Damon. Can you guess what happened?
2,000 people fell asleep, though. no, certainly not with Shibata in the ring.
No,
and
never.
Again, Kojima. I think Kojima is good. I like Kojima. Of the two,
I'm sure he had his working boots on for this match.
Let me guess. There was a challenge.
There was.
Who challenged Shibata? I'm going to go with, it wasn't fucking Togi Makabe. No, it couldn't have been. He's a fucking tag champ. Why would that?
Oh, thank God it was not Togi Makabe.
I'm going to say it was Bad Luck Fale.
You are incorrect.
Good. Thank God. Who challenged?
Hiroyoshi Tenzan challenged Shibata.
I should have said Nagata. I would have been kind of closer.
That would have been a lot closer. So we were wrong, actually, when we said that Tenzan's single swan song was against Michael Elgin. Perhaps it should have been, but we'll see what he can do against Shibata. Maybe Shibata can drag another great match out of Tenzan, who is capable of being involved in great matches. We have seen that.
We have seen that. And you know what? Here's another example. Tenzan hasn't had a bad year, right?
Not really. When you think about it.
Yeah, the tag matches with Gallows and Anderson, they were pretty good matches. They weren't bad matches. We sat here and said that. And then the Elgin match, this has the possibility of being pretty good as well with Shibata. Let's see. Let's see if Tenzan can kind of carry that streak. All right. I kind of like this idea of Shibata kind of plowing his way through all the elder statesmen of New Japan, right? Just kind of,
kicking the shit out of them.
Yeah. I mean, I can't say I'm super thrilled with the idea of a Tenzan match. I mean, I think there's other people I'd rather see in the ring, but let's not shit on Tenzan quite yet. He's had a good year, so
don't poo-poo the Tenzan, Damon. Don't poo-poo it.
There are plenty of people I would rather see in the ring, but he's had a good year. So let's not count him out quite yet. I'd be curious to see how this Kojima match was too. A lot of things I'm curious about for the show. I can't say I'm overly blown away by anything, but there's a lot of things that I'm kind of curious to see. Not kind of curious, very curious to see.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, I'll be checking out the Juice Robinson versus Omega match. Yep. Obviously, the NEVER title match. So, there are definitely a lot of matches on this card that I will be checking out when they are uploaded to NJPWWorld.com, which leads us to our next card here, where we're going to go over the results. And that was the show from earlier this morning, actually, at the time we're recording this. It is Sunday evening, March 20th, and this took place today, actually, and we are going to go through this card, give you the results, so here we go. Let's get into it. This took place from Hyogo, I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, and it opened up with Jay White and David Finlay taking on Roppongi Vice.
All right, I think Roppongi Vice, listen. No, I'm not going to spend more than 3 minutes with it. It was a good match, though. I will say that.
I would imagine.
Nice, Yeah, nice little opener, nice tag match there. I wonder if there was any dissension, maybe little hints of dissension with Finley and Jay White, right?
Dissension in the ranks?
Maybe, you know, maybe a little jealousy, a little professional jealousy. But I think it's safe to say Roppongi Vice got the win here, right,
that
Colin?
That is correct. Trent Barretta, again, picking up the win with the Dude Buster. That's the greatest name for a finishing maneuver. The Dude Buster on Jay White.
Okay. Again, I think it's telling that Trent Barretta is picking up the big wins here, right? He says that's two nights in a row. Good for him.
The second match was Kushida versus Ghetto. Damon, what is your prediction for this match?
5 stars. you know what? I'm sure this was probably a simple match, you know, in simple Ghetto style, but yeah, I mean, listen, Kushida's getting the win here, right? With probably a hoverboard lock, I would say.
That is exactly what happened. They wrestled almost 10 minutes, and Kushida picked up the win with the hoverboard lock. So there you go.
There you go.
Kushida
All right.
gaining some momentum for his junior heavyweight title defense against Mr. Ospreay.
Yep, picking up steam, heading into Invasion and TAC. You know, got to take care of those low-level juniors. good for him. Good for Kushida. All right.
Damon, this next match, I think when this is up on NJPW World, you are going to jump right to this one. This was a tag match. We saw the team of Nagata, Nakanishi, and Taguchi versus Yano, Sakuraba, and Yoshihashi. Who do you think won here?
Fuck's sake. Oh, man, they really love doing these fucking matches are dog shit. I'm going to go Nakanishi taking the fall again. And I'm going to say, come on, let's throw him a fucking bone. Yoshihashi gets the win.
No, actually, Yano picks up the win yet again for his team. This time he gets the fall on Taguchi.
Wow.
Poor Taguchi.
Yano. What Yano picking up some big wins,
dude,
back to back.
Yano is going to win the G1 this year.
Sounds like it, for Christ's sake. He's setting himself up here. Look at him go. Look at Yano go. You know, he makes it to the quarterfinals, right? Or the semifinals, is it?
Semifinals, yeah.
Look at him go. He's having a fucking bang up
big year.
Good for
Yano. Big year.
Big year.
So we'll
big
see,
year.
We'll see what happens.
I can't wait for Yano Kenny Omega come Dontaku.
Yeah, Yano Mania is running wild.
Yeah, I bet it is.
Next match, Shibata and Captain New Japan.
What the fuck? Okay.
Best tag team ever versus Hiroyoshi Tenzan and Satoshi Kojima.
I'm going Kojima Tenzan over Captain New Japan.
Yes.
There you go.
Tenzan slapped the Anaconda Vice on Captain New Japan, and that was it.
Yeah, I'm sure there was a stare down in there, right? I'm sure Shibata's holding the never belt in somebody's face and, you know, all that horseshit.
Yes. Okay, Tenzan calls out Shibata after the match, challenging him for the never open weight title. So we have that to look forward to. And you know what? I am optimistic about that match. I think it's going to be good.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Why would anybody tag with Captain New Japan? I have no fucking idea. But hey, whatever. Somebody's got to lie down, right? All right, good for them. What's next? So far, got to be honest with you, this match is this show. These two matches, holy shit. Okay, next.
I think both main events will probably make up for it. But next, Togi Makabe, Tomoaki Honma, Jushin Thunder Liger, and Tiger Mask took on Bad Luck Fale, Tama Tonga, Yujiro Takahashi, and Cody Hall.
All right, I'm going to go Tama Tonga picking up the win on Tiger Mask.
You are correct, actually. That is exactly what happened. Very good.
Blammo. Yeah, I mean... We all know. We don't know why. The reasons why. All right. It's a show, really. It's doing nothing for me.
I was going to say, are you sure you don't want to analyze the reasoning behind Tama Tonga picking up the win on Tiger Man? We could do it.
I'm good. I think everybody listening is good. I think we're all fine. So three matches in a row that, truth be told, you know what? This might not be that bad. This might not be. Who's on the Bullet Club side? Tonga? Fale?
Yes, okay. So we got Tonga, Fale, Takahashi, our boy.
Uh-huh. And Cody Hall.
And Cody Hall.
Oh, boy. Yeah, I'm not looking forward to this fucking match. I got to be honest with you.
All right. Next match. Next match for the never open weight six-man tag team championship. The champions, the Elite, Kenny Omega, and the Young Bucks, defending against the challengers, Hiroshi Tanahashi, Michael Elgin, and Juice Robinson. How about Tanahashi and Elgin taking good old Juice under their wing?
Yeah, you know, couldn't think of a better partner than Juice Robinson. Yeah, this was a never six man, right?
Yes, that was what I announced when I announced.
I'm just making sure. I just want to make sure I heard it right. You know, I gotta stay emotionally invested in this. It doesn't sound like a bad match. It sounds like actually pretty decent, right?
No, I'm really looking for. You know what? I think that with the Elite holding these titles, I mean, thus far we've had some fun matches. I mean, we only saw one of them, the match in Vegas at the ROH 14th anniversary show, which was great. And I'm sure that this match will be a lot of fun. So they went about 16 minutes actually. And what do you think happened here, Damon?
I'm gonna go with
title change.
No title change. No title change. I would have known that. And I did not hear a whimper about a title change. So I'm going to say Kenny Omega pinned that Juice Robinson.
He did with the One-Winged Angel. So that makes two successful title defenses here for the Elite. Congratulations to them.
Yeah, they're becoming like the Bruno Sammartino of the of the never six man belt. So they're going to hold it forever.
The Bob Backlund.
The Bob Backlund 4-year reign. All right, go for it, boys.
All right, next match, Okada and Goto, new Chaos member there, versus Tetsuya Naito and Bushi.
Okay. Bushi takes the fall. I'll say to Goto.
Yep, Goto once again hits the GTR on Bushi, which we're going to say means go to rest.
Right. I like Goto and Chaos. It's going to take me a while to kind of wrap my head around it a little bit. It's going to look odd, you know, seeing it. Even the still photo, you see the one shot, it was Ishii and Okada and Goto.
I did.
Have you seen that shot? Yeah, that was weird to me. That was kind of odd. It's going to take a while for me to get used to it. But I like it. I do like it. I like that. You know what's weird too? A lot of people, not weird, but just a point to make. You know, I posed a question last week about Goto and, you know, if people dug, you know, the idea of him being sad and depressed and, you know, again, as we like to say, not finding his groove. And there were people that were actually into it. You know, there were people that, you know, dug that aspect of it. For me, it was all about where he was winding up. If it was Chaos, if he was turning his back on the offer. But a lot of people dug the depression aspect of it. You know, and, well, you know, wherever you find the joy in pro wrestling, good for you guys. For me, it didn't work. But for other people, they were all in. So I'm all in for Chaos, though. I'm all in for Goto and Chaos. I'm digging it.
Hey. Different strokes for different folks. So there you
go. Thank you, Willis.
What you talking about, Damon?
Thank you, Mr. D.
Yeah, all right. So what do we got here? Next match, the main event of the evening for this card was for the ROH World TV Championship. We saw the champion Ishii defend against the challenger Evil, the very evil Evil with his sickle and his laser pointer.
Yeah, I wonder how many lasers he had this show. You know, I wonder if the promoter said anything. We can't afford five lasers. You only get one. Don't record it.
Pretty soon, it's just going to be the red dot that you use to tease your cat.
Yeah, I have one of those, my friend. This was the one match that I think everyone was really interested in seeing, and the fact that we aren't seeing it and we're crying like a bunch of schoolgirls about it still. My point being is that I wanted to see this match. I was excited for it. Like, as we called it, a hard-hitting slobber knocker. And
two big bulls slugging it out.
Love it. And again, here's another opportunity for Evil to show what he can do, and this would be a perfect stage for that with a perfect dance partner. So I'm all in on it. I'm gathering I did not hear anything about a title change, so I'm assuming we have Ishii. Taking care of business and getting the pinfall on Evil with a 1-2-3.
Indeed, Ishii hits his brutal brainbuster on Evil, and that is the third successful title defense for Tomohiro Ishii. So I think that he's probably going to end up dropping this ROH TV title probably in May in New York City, I want to say.
I wouldn't be surprised if we see it on this tour. I heard... that Ring of Honor pulled him from the WrestleMania weekend show.
Yes.
So Ring of Honor has a WrestleMania weekend show in the Dallas area. And he was actually pulled for that. So I think New Japan had some previous ideas, or I don't know what the scheduling conflict was, but yeah, he's not going to be in Dallas from what I understand. Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if come May with that the New Japan tour with Ring of Honor, as they do every May after the Dontaku shows, we'll see Ishii give that strap back to. I wouldn't be surprised if you see it with a Roddy Strong or even a Bobby Fish.
By the way, Ishii's new music is quickly becoming one of my favorite themes in New Japan Pro Wrestling. I just have to say that. I love it.
I'm trying to. I like the one the. I'm not gonna. Don't make me do it. But the dun, 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 is that the one we're talking about? No.
No, that is not the one we're talking about. Yeah. Right. After we get done recording here, go listen to Ishii's new theme song. It is great.
Okay. All right. It doesn't ring a bell with me right now, but okay. I'll give it a listen.
All right, so that wraps up both of the results here for these two shows over the weekend. And once again, you know, keep your eyes peeled on njpwworld.com. Hopefully, they will be up soon. So
yeah, it's amazing that, like I said, we don't even know when these shows are going up. We heard the 24th, we heard the 27th. Who knows?
I'm predicting next January.
Again, we're going to get each New Japan Pro Wrestling World subscriber will receive a fifth generation copy, VHS copy of this show, just to kind of keep the spirit alive of seeing these shows. So, good stuff. Good stuff.
Have you gotten a chance to check out any of the new Access TV shows with JR by any chance?
I did. I saw one. What did I see? I saw Tanahashi and Yano's the tag match from Dontaku. You know, I was kind of texting back and forth with some people at the time that it was on. Some people disappointed by JR, to be truthful. A couple of signature spots from Tanahashi that slipped under the radar, the sling blade being one of them. You know, maybe they're nitpicky. Maybe they're nitpicking a little bit. It's a different dynamic, and I think everybody could agree. You're not going to get the history. You're not going to get Ranallo. You know, and I think if you're looking for that, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to get JR. I can't say that I'm not a fan. I'm not going to go that far, but if I had my choice, I'm picking the former instead of the latter.
Absolutely. I mean, I think we can both agree that Mauro Ranallo is just on such a different level than any other pro wrestling commentator in the game right now. I mean, certainly no offense to anybody else. There's lots of great commentators out there. But Mauro Ranallo, just he brought something really special that made that show on Access TV. And it is sad that he had to leave and he went on to greener pastures. Of course, congratulations to him. You know, he's living the dream, man. You know, he's commentating for SmackDown. He's still doing his MMA
fuck
thing.
That, so. Fuck that, Conley. He turned his back on us, man.
Yeah, I know, right?
Fuck him.
That's what we should be saying. But,
yeah.
But no, seriously, I think the JR, he's in his wheelhouse right now. You know, he loves calling pro wrestling, and he has mentioned time and time again that the New Japan product reminds him of the wrestling of old that he enjoyed calling with the logical booking and everything. So, you know, we're still kind of early in the game here. I didn't check out this past Friday's episode. I think they started up with the last year's Best of the Super Juniors. So yeah. I'm going to check that out a little later on, I think. And, you know, this is still early in the game. You know, give it time, folks. Give it time.
All right. Well, you're talking to me when you talk about give it time. So I'll give it another shot. If I'm not mistaken, this is Kushida, Kyle O'Reilly. So this is a great fucking match. I'm going to give him another shot. I'm going to be honest. Whereas before I would watch these shows and I would be, let's put it this way, I didn't miss a show. Not that I was sitting there on a Friday night watching, but you know, if they're on my DVR, I'm plowing through them, right? And I'm watching them. I see them on my DVR and I'm not like jumping at the bit to go watch these shows. So okay, I'm gonna hop back in. I'm gonna give him another shot with the Kushida Kyle O'Reilly. I feel like that's my thing. It's like I have to shit on English announcers the first time, and then they come on. Yeah, all you gotta do, JR, is just do our fucking show, and then you know, then everything will be all right. No, but seriously, I'll give him another shot. I'll try to keep an open mind. He didn't win me over on this last show.
All right, so we do have a new New Japan show coming up next week, another Road to Invasion Attack show that actually is going to be on NJPWWorld.com. What a concept, right?
Mm.
this one is going to be from Corican Hall on next Sunday, March 27th. And you want to quickly go through the lineup here?
Yeah, real quick, and we talked about this a little bit off air, and you went into it like, oh, this show, I'm not feeling it. But then you go over the lineup. This is a Colin Miller special. This is. You got more excited as you were reading off the matches. Like, you're getting more excited. You're like, oh my god, this and this and this, and then next thing you know, Colin, your pants are off.
Look, folks, this show is going to be fun with a capital F. You heard it here first.
I'm into this show. I'm into the concept of this show. I'm into the single matches at Corican Hall. Wow, what a concept. You know, we didn't see a lot of that in 2015, that's for fucking sure. So, we'll quickly go through it again. Do we have to give predictions about every match? No, but let's give our overall thoughts on some of these matches and the overall theme, which I'm buying. I'm in.
All right, so the first two matches are tag matches. So we have Kushida, Jushin Thunder Liger, Tiger Mask, and David Finlay taking on Ishii, Yano, Rocky Romero, and Trent Beretta.
Okay.
That's how you laughed. Okay. that was your initial response.
Yeah. I mean, that's. I mean, listen, if we're given like one-word answers and initial responses, listen, that should be fine. I mean, whatever. Okay.
I'm going to say Kushida picks up the win on Yano.
Great. No, I think Yano's getting a win. What do you think of that? I mean, Yano's getting a win.
You know, third time's a charm.
Why not? He's on a roll. I'm giving my prediction is Yano. All right, what's next?
We have Shibata, Taguchi, Captain New Japan, and Juice Robinson taking on.
Wait, Shibata, Taguchi.
Yes.
Captain New Japan, and who?
And Juice, our boy Juice.
Wow, Shibata drew the fucking short straw on that one. What the fuck?
He's the leader, Damon. He's the leader.
The leader of what? The leader of the dipshits?
he's like the island of misfit toys.
Right. He's like fucking Anthony Michael Hall in 16 Candles. I'm the king of the dipshits.
he's the king moon racer of this tag team. That team is taking on Tenzan, Kojima, Nagata, and Nakanishi, the Fab Four.
The Fab Four of New Japan. Wow, what a fucking match. Corican Hall, you're in for a treat. I mean, who cares? Captain New Japan loses, fine, right?
Yeah,
Captain
yeah,
New
sure.
Japan loses.
Sure, yeah. No. Let's say Tenzan picks up the win on Captain New Japan.
Great, sounds perfect. Sounds wonderful.
All right, and the next match is the start of this New Japan versus Bullet Club series that we're gonna see here at this Corican Hall show. The first match is Michael Elgin taking on Cody Hall. And this is a real proving ground here for Cody Hall. Let's see what this kid can really do against a great worker like Michael Elgin in a singles match. What do you think? They give this match like 8 minutes?
It's probably right. Probably something along those lines. Look, everybody who tweets us, everybody who messages us, Cody Hall's got a lot of potential. He's coming into his, you know, this is another Juice Robinson situation. Let's see what he can do. Okay, here's a perfect example. Corican Hall, Michael Elgin's going to walk him through this. You know, he's going to take care of him. He's going to, you know, do what needs to be done. I think this is a good dance partner for Cody. All right. Let's see what we got. This is again another one of these instances where, okay, we're going to watch with a little bit more of a critical eye. We're going to see what can be accomplished. Here's the spotlight. Let's see what you learn. Let's see what you learn, Big Cody. Let's see what you got.
This next match, I think, has a lot of people salivating. This is going to be awesome. Jay White versus Kenny Omega. Could you imagine if they give this? Let's give this one like 13 minutes. I think these guys could have a phenomenal contest.
Colin, this could be a real fucking nice match, man. This has the potential to be. This is what a lot of people were clamoring for. You know, you got Jay White sitting first match each and every night, and arguably on some of these shitty farm town shows, second best match. Third best match. Some might even argue that they would have the best match of the night. So, great dance partner in Kenny Omega. We all know the rocket that's he's got strapped to him. I am totally down for this match. Can't wait. Can't wait.
Watch it be like all comedy. like Omega comes out with the bucks with the broom and the trash can interference throughout the whole thing.
Just let him go. Let me see what Jay White can do. Let's see what Jay White can do. I'm totally confident that it's going to be a great match. Totally confident. Please let's not fuck it up, guys. Let's not fuck it up. Let him go. Let him shine a little bit. Let's see what we got.
All right, this next match has my name written all over it here. We have Hiroshi Tanahashi, the ace of New Japan, taking on... Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Yujiro Takahashi. I'm ready for this match.
You certainly are.
Takahashi, wow. Tell you what. This is his moment here. This is his moment to kind of shut up the naysayers that always shit over his work and talk about how sloppy he is and how lazy mm-hmm. he is. I think that he is capable mm-hmm. of now granted, he is in there with one of the greatest wrestlers in the world today, you know. He's in there with like the Shawn Michaels of New Japan. But I think this is going to be a good match. I really do. Seriously.
This has the potential to be good. I don't think we have the potential to be great.
No.
I think we have the potential to be good. What's our ceiling? What's our star ceiling on this?
Our star ceiling on this, I'm going to say...
What's the best it could possibly be?
3.5.
3.5. Okay. What's the worst it could possibly be?
A quarter of a star. No. Like two stars.
Okay. So we got a swing of 2 stars... 3.5 stars, right?
Yeah. It's not going to be any less than 2 with Tanahashi involved.
It could. I said, nah, in a singles match, could it? Yeah, all right. I'm going. All right. So somewhere between 2 and 3.5.
Yeah.
Give me the high side. Give me. Where are you putting your money? Where are you putting the money where the chips fall?
What? Who's going to win this rating. Match?
No.
Oh, okay.
Tanahashi's winning.
Star. Okay. I'm going to say that at the end of the day, after the smoke clears and the dust is settled and all that, I'm going to give this one. I'm going to say this is going to be a 3-star match.
Then Hiroshi Tanahashi is the greatest wrestler to ever grace this profession. If he pulls 3 stars, let's put it this way, I'll say 3 stars, but. If he gives me 3.25, 3.5 range, if he pulls 3.5 out of this, if he makes this match 3.5 stars, I want everyone to fucking tell me that Hiroshi Tanahashi is the greatest wrestler that ever graced this planet. All right, that's all I want. If he can get 3.5 stars out of Takahashi,
well, damn it, I don't think it's that big of a stretch. I mean, after all, Tanahashi is wrestling the Ric Flair of. New Japan Pro Wrestling, the Rick Rude, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Well, look, if anybody's going to take, if there's an opportunity to take a night off from a singles match perspective, I mean, what the fuck does Hiroshi Tanahashi have to gain by beating Takahashi, right?
Are you kidding me? Especially if Takahashi, you know, brings out one of the girls, maybe Mao Chan will come out and, you know, do a little dance. But again, they've been cutting back on that as of late.
If they, yeah, again, speaking about cutting budget, if he could pull 3.5 stars out, God bless Hiroshi Tanahashi. I don't think he's going to be able to. I think this kind of screams to me one of those matches that, you know, this might be Tanahashi's worst match of the year. This has the potential to be Tanahashi's worst match of the year. If you're going to rank all his matches throughout the entire year, this has got a good possibility to be on the bottom shelf, so to speak.
By the way, the other day I was looking on the New Japan subreddit, and somebody actually made a thread on there. This might have been the Takahashi guy that you and Eric encountered at the ROH show way back when. Somebody made... Actually, here it is right now. The title of the thread is "In Celebration of Yujiro Takahashi." Can I read this? It's very short.
Yeah, please. I'm shocked. Go ahead. Yeah, please.
Here we go. So this post was made by The Real PJC, and the title, once again, is "In Celebration of Yujiro Takahashi." And it reads as follows: "The cool heel you actually hate. He doesn't have physical gifts unique from his peers, but his psychology is so clean and believable, creating a character you wouldn't want your sister dating, but also somehow you'd trade lives with, even if just for a weekend. This type of heel isn't rare historically, and maybe he's taken for granted based on tenure, but Yujiro plays it so well, and it's a shame it is somewhat lost on the fringes of Bullet Club. Here's to you, Yujiro Takahashi. May your career have no limit. That was beautiful. That guy waxed poetically about Yujiro Takahashi.
He did.
You think that's the guy?
I mean, look, maybe. Who knows? Here's where we differ. For me, I'm looking at matches, and I want entertaining, hard-hitting pro wrestling matches. I don't give a shit about, like, do I want to step in his shoes? Like, to me, that's – I'm not going to step in his shoes. That's not why I'm watching wrestling. Okay. I mean, listen, people watch it for different reasons. I don't see it. And you know, sky's the – what was the last line?
Yeah, the sky's the limit for
– Is that what he said?
For his career, yeah.
The character? Okay, well – it's not. There's a definite ceiling, and I think
who are you to say that?
That ceiling is 3 stars. That's our ceiling. Well, look, I'm glad he gets enjoyment out of him, and so do you, Kamala. You love him. So there's as we say again, Mr. D, different strokes.
Different strokes. That's right. All right, let's move on here. Let's wrap this up. Next match on the card, Tomoaki Honma versus Bad Luck Fale. What do you think? You think we're going to see a Honma upset here? Is Honma going to hone his skills here?
Honma. Here's the thing with this match that I like on paper. Honma is a guy who's going to sell like a mother, right? He's going to sell the power moves. He's going to sell the big man spots. He's going to sell, you know, his facial expressions are you know, bordering on hilarious at this point.
He looks like he's in agonizing pain sometimes.
Yeah. So this, I don't think this has, like, on paper, you look at it and it's like, I don't know. But I think with Honma, I think this is a perfect dance partner for Fale. I'm okay with this. I like the potential that's here. I think this is going to be a decent match, and I think it's going to be better than what it sounds like on paper. I'm going to go that far as to say. Is this the main event of the show?
No, it is not the main event of the show. Okay. There is one more match left in the New Japan versus Bullet Club series here, and that match is Togi Makabe versus Tama Tonga. You know, we've been seeing a lot from Tama Tonga as he's been getting to have more and more singles matches in New Japan. Sadly, it looks like that's going to come to an end since it looks like they're going the tag route with him. But I think that this match also has a lot of potential. Makabe, you know, as much as we kind of like to put him in almost in that Nagata Nakanishi grouping, let's face it, at the end of the day, I think Makabe is a very good wrestler, and I think this is going to surprise a lot of people.
I think Makabe has seen better days. I've never really been a huge fan of his style. This is a big spot for Tama Tonga. I don't think that's, you know, going lightly on him. I think he recognizes the fact that in a singles match, he's main event in Korakuen Hall. That's a nice little spot to be in.
Semi-main event.
Okay. Well, what have you? He's at the top of the card in a singles match, and for many years he was, you know, kind of a second fiddle in Bullet Club. So this is a big spot for him. I don't think he's going to make that. I think it's resting heavy on his mind, and I think that he's going to take full advantage of this opportunity, because it hasn't come before. So this is a big spot for him. Good for him. I'm looking forward to the match. Togi Makabe, can he have a good match? Absolutely. Is this the kind of mesh that we talk about that I'm excited for? Not particularly, but I think we see Tama Tonga get the win, right, to help further strengthen the program. Perfect spot. Big name. Getting the fall once again. I'm into it. We'll see what happens. But I think Tama Tonga is going to do everything in his power to make this a fucking great match.
Final match of the evening. The main event for this Korakuen show is going to be Okada, Goto, and Yoshihashi, collectively known as Chaos, taking on Los Ingobernables de Japón, Naito, Evil, and Bushi.
Okay. So I think you know, I think it's a fair, safe statement that the Bush takes the fall. Everybody gets to further their program. I think it's going to be a fine match. I think it's going to be a lot of what we've seen already, though. I'm more excited for the singles matches on this show. Those are the matches that have piqued my interest. A lot of these rookies, a lot of these young lions, a lot of these younger guys getting a chance to shine in a big spot at Cork and Hall singles matches. That's what I'm sinking my teeth into on these shows.
Yeah, Jay White versus Kenny Omega. Come on,
I'm into it. I'm definitely into that.
Come on, take my money. So yeah, there you have it. That is going to take place once again next Sunday, March 27th. That will actually be on njpwworld.com, and hopefully by then this weekend's shows will be up there as well. So you are going to have no shortage of pro wrestling. So never complain that you don't have any matches to watch, because I guarantee you there is a match or two out there that you haven't seen.
Yeah, and there's stuff on the network. Taka Michinoku, you know, he had his little spot show on there. I have not watched that. I don't know if I'm going to actually sit down and watch that. I think that was in either Shinjuku Face, was it, the building? Small show, but I'm surprised that made the network. For those people that are interested, Kota Ibushi makes his return to the ring this Monday, tomorrow.
That's right. Big DDT show.
Massive DDT show that on paper sounds really good. So, you know, I'm not a huge fan of the DDT stuff, but there's a lot of stuff that you can sink your teeth into on this show. This DDT show sounds really good. And again, Kota Ibushi makes his return to the ring after out on the shelf with the injury. So I'm curious to see how he makes out. I will be watching that. I think it's like 7 o'clock Eastern, and they're broadcasting it live. So hopefully for those of you who do not have access to this show, people who normally will put that stuff up online, your real heroes of the world, they'll have that ready to rock and roll for you as soon as they can. Me, there's a very good shot. I'll wake up a little early, 7 o'clock Eastern. That's a reasonable time for me. I might have to watch this DDT show. Minoru Suzuki's on it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, man, there are some big names on this card. Tatsumi Fujinami.
Yeah.
He's on this card.
Yeah. He's on there. Suzuki
Bono.
Again. Aki Bono is on here. It's a pretty nice show. It's a pretty good show. If you like the pro graps, this DDT show might be one that you want to check out. A lot of interesting matchups. But again, for a lot of New Japan peeps, the return of Kota Ibushi is what we're going to sink our teeth into and see how he's making out coming back from that injury.
By the way, I have not, you know, I don't really follow DDT except for you know, the rare match, for example, like that tag match that Tanahashi was involved in. But I don't know anything about their current champion. Is his name Isami Kodaka?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's going to be a good match with Hiroshima.
Yes.
I never know where to put the emphasis there. That will be a good match. That's something you want to circle. Again, Kota Ibushi's in a 6-man tag, but it's like a weapons match. It's like a
is there a giant crab involved?
There might be some kaiju tie-in. I sent you the text. Did you get that text?
Yes, I did. I'm looking at the card right now.
Yeah. So what, Kota Ibushi? What's the name of this match? It's like a 6-man battle with weapons. How do they call it? What are they calling it?
I'm trying to find the.
It's like down the bottom.
Okay. Let's see here. It's not for the tag titles. Falls Count Anywhere Weapon Treasure Hunt match. Are you kidding me?
A weapons treasure hunt
match.
Wow. I don't know exactly what that entails.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, so he's all up in that. So that should be very interesting. Again, we're not huge DDT guys. There's probably better online resources for that, but if you're a Joey Ryan fan, I don't know if you're into the whole penis thing. Him and his wife Candace, or his fiance Candace LaRue, is on the show. Again, Tatsumi Fujinami's on this show. Kota Ibushi. Just trying to get names that maybe some of you guys might know. Again, Minoru Suzuki. Aki Bono is on this show. So again, good stuff. Good stuff on here. I think this is going to be something that you might want to tune in for if you catch it online. And again, the real hero people, they're pretty quick in getting that shit up. So you should see it soon, Monday or Tuesday.
Absolutely. Lots of good puroresu coming your way. And just really quick here before we wrap things up on today's edition of the Purocast, I did retweet that photo of Okada, Ishii, and Goto. And somebody replied. Yoshihashi wasn't invited.
Poor guy. Yeah, you're good. I just saw that. Good old sure, why not? I like that Twitter handle. There's a lot of good peeps that follow us there, and I enjoy their Twitter handle. A lot of funny, creative people. So good work out of you guys. Good work. All right, there you go. I can't believe we wound up doing a show here, basically on shows that we haven't seen. So good for us, Colin Miller. I can't believe we stretched it out as much as we did. Thanks for hanging in there.
I know. You were texting me earlier today, dude. I don't know what we're gonna talk about. This is.
I was like, nobody's seen these shows. How are we going to talk about it? But you know, we kind of talk about the network. We kind of talk a little bit about English commentary. We made it work, right? I think this was a decent show. We did good. Pat us on the back.
Absolutely. And we just want to thank all you guys once again. You know I say it every week, but thank you so much for listening. Keep those 5-star reviews on iTunes coming in. Every single 5-star rating and review that you leave helps us to grow and be the best that we can be. Make sure you subscribe on there. You can also subscribe on Stitcher Radio, like our good buddy Kevin Kelly. I know that he subscribes on Stitcher. You can also listen to us on the Great Voices of Wrestling podcasting network as well. No shortage of great pro wrestling audio on voicesofwrestling.com. And of course, to interact with us, follow us on Twitter at PuroCast and like us on Facebook, facebook.com/NewJapanPuroCast. Damon, any final words for this week?
No, I think that kind of wraps things up in a nice little bow. Again, I'll be online watching this DDT show. Hopefully we'll have word out when these other New Japan shows finally make air. Listen, lots of good stuff coming around the corner. We're actually working on a website, guys. We're actually we might have something in the next couple days, hopefully go live shortly. So yeah, another resource for you. We can get all our shows, and
we're gonna be on the internets.
Yeah, we're gonna be on the webs with a Z, with the scoops. So yeah, that'll be right around the corner. So again, we're trying to do good for you guys. We're trying to make it work. So, keep it up. We appreciate all the positive and even some of the negative feedback. You know, we're not going to shy away from it. You know, I won't block you too quick on Twitter.
I'm soft. I'll just cry in the corner.
Yeah. I'll be like, fuck this guy, blocked. not just kidding. Maybe. All right. So, that's that. So let's wrap it up. CM.
Alrighty, so we're going to be back here same time next week with our review of the Road to Invasion Attack show from Corken Hall on Sunday, March 27th. So for Damon McDonald, my name is Colin Miller. We'll catch you guys next week.